When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Thank you so much for joining. Nope, nothing. Are we live? There we go. Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your Fightful SmackDown post-show. It is the go home to bad blood. It is October 4th. Sorry for the little glitchy intro there, but we're rocking and rolling. We thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. We've got so much to talk about heading into Bad Blood tomorrow. You've got Sean Ross Sapp on your post-show for that with Minerva, who is great. You will love her. She's fantastic, I promise. You also have me and Alex Pulowski behind the paywall on FightfulSelect.com with your Sour Graps review as well. So looking forward to tomorrow. Kind of weird not to have mid-afternoon wrestling, to be honest. I'm so used to these five-match cards and these kind of intermittent pay-per-views being in Europe or anywhere else in the world that puts it in a time zone where I'm watching during the middle of the day. But looking forward to what the Atlanta crowd has to bring. They better bring the heat because these international crowds have been wild, but here, as always, to hang out with me and talk some wrestling, it's Alex Cardoza. Alex, how you doing?
The clavicola of Ayatollahs here, baby. What's up?
You're darn right. Well, I'm so excited to get into this episode with Alex. Couple things that we ask of you guys up front. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. It's very helpful for helping people find us. Leaving a comment on these videos also extremely helpful. We have people touching tips MXM style following me to every show that I'm on. So we love a little dramatic tip touch.
Love right tip there. Touching you.
There it is. That's
that sounded so weird. I'm sorry, but
Alex, we're still inside the monetization window, man. Help me out.
I have not said it any more damn freaking creepier at the start of the damn show. I even lowered my voice for it. I'm like, oh yeah.
It's Friday night, baby. Let's rock and roll. So please leave a comment, leave a thumbs up. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already. We have so much content coming your ways. Post shows every weekday. We've got you covered on PLEs and pay-per-views as well. And I'll also let you guys know a dozen spots for the Fightful Awards have already been sold. I'm so happy that we have had so much interest this early on. I'm so proud of the community that we've built. We promise to make those dollars count, because a lot of the support we've gotten hasn't been from big brands or anything. It's been from creators who are looking to align themselves with us at our award show. And it means so much that you trust us with your reputation. It means so much that you're willing to spend your hard-earned dollars on us. Last year's award show got over 35,000 views across all platforms.
Crazy.
We've got a social media reach now of over 500,000 between the Fightful and the Sean Ross Sapp Twitter accounts and our Instagram account as well. So if you are interested in it, it's $100 for categories. Those categories are going quickly. We're very fortunate that that's the case. But you can also kind of just sponsor the show in general as well. So you can message me at kate@fightful.com, or you can hit me up on X for that. But before we get into any of that as well, we mentioned FightfulSelect.com, all the scoopskis in the land that you could possibly want. Not only me and Alex Pulaski doing PLE and pay-per-view post shows behind the paywall, but all the scoops you could ever want from Sean Ross Sapp. There will be a Bad Blood scoops thread tomorrow as well, but tons of information on that Warner deal. There's been a tremendous amount of clarity provided by Sean. If you've been hearing fake numbers and weird terms and our pay-per-views included and all that kind of stuff, FightfulSelect.com has it laid out for you with such clarity. On top of that, a lot of people have had follow-up questions, right? A lot of people want to ask Sean details about the deal, what else he's heard, etc. You can hop into the SRS Discord or the Ask SRS channel on our Discord, and you can ask him there. There's also a Q&A show / backstage report behind the paywall as well that you can get your questions in on that. So if you've got more questions, Sean's got answers for you. You just got to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. We got you covered. We got you covered here at Fightful, but let's finally dig into this episode of SmackDown. See more and more of you filtering in. We thank you so much for joining us on your Friday night. Leave a thumbs up. We're going to talk all about Bad Blood. We're going to give you the BetOnline AG rundown as well for what their betting lines are. But overall, I got to say, like, one persistent complaint that you and I feel like have both had is that these go-home episodes, especially when they're international go-home shows, a lot of times they're pre-taped or they're just kind of throwaways because they're not advancing the stories. This had some really, really good stuff on it tonight. I loved what we got with AJ Styles and Carmelo and the way they're continuing those stories. That women's dumpster match was, I was going to say fire, but it wasn't a dumpster fire. It was fire, like it was really, really good. And that main event was fantastic. So kind of refreshing to have a nice shot in the arm going into the pay-per-view instead of kind of like going into them with a whimper, which we always understand, but it just makes for a less exciting show to review, Alex.
Yeah, you know, it was slowly paced, but not in the sense that it was like dragging, so that, you know, we got, you know, what they usually do. We mentioned this about go-home shows where they're kind of slow and sluggish. Last time, the last go-home show kind of felt good, and they continued the trend. Here we go. Like, we're heading into Bad Blood. I felt like the matches were pretty well put together. They were long.
Yes.
Like, everyone had time. So I think it's a great way to not only keep, you know, the wheels rolling and whatever, but, you know, you keep the people interested. It's not just throwaway talking segments and backstage segments. It seemed like there was barely anything going on backstage today. I do gotta say this, unless I'm wrong here and I'm looking at the no Latinos up in my friggin' Friday Night SmackDown show. Maybe I need a third hour just to dedicate to my Latin people. I don't know. Who knows?
I mean, I'm sorry. It's Hispanic Heritage Month, too.
I said the dreaded third hour joke. yeah. I mean, we got to see Carmelo and AJ in the ring. That's great. I know a lot of discourse has been talked about on X this week about certain representation on certain shows. But it was weird because I've been seeing Andrade every single time I've watched, you know, on Raw, you have the entire Latino World Order in there doing their thing, mm-hmm. you know. So, yeah, I don't know. Other than that, I think it was a good show.
Yeah, I think
long-winded, you know, answer. I apologize.
No, I was asking you for your thoughts, so I'm glad that you gave them. But certainly not our conversation to drive as far as the representation aspect. But it is definitely of note, right, that there has not been a black male singles competitor on a pay-per-view or a PLE since 2023. And I believe the last person to have a pin was Snoop Dogg. So that's not great. We don't love that, even though he's a hell of a worker. I will say the NXT brand does very well in this regard. You have Obafemi being built up as this unbeatable monster. Trick is your champion again and one of the most over talents in the company. Kalani Jordan having a mid-card title reign. So it's a little bit more balanced there. But certainly listen to Black voices about Black issues. We've got Grapsity right here on Fightful for you to tune into their perspective as well. But that's always my thing is I can make my observations, but... listen to Black voices about Black issues, for sure, for sure. But let's dig in. Guys, get in your super chats and your humper chats. Sean is matching your donations this week and donate them to the Hurricane Helene proceeds going to greatergood.org, which focuses on pet transport in crisis situations. So just know that your money is being matched and sent to a good cause. The more you send in, the more we empty Sean's wallets and we send to a good cause. But the two biggest things of note going into this week, I felt like were, or that we knew of last week, were the AJ Styles return in the dumpster match. And then the triple threat main event got added. And I said, wow, this is a damn good, damn good show. But we started off with this AJ Styles promo where, kind of more standard. It always kind of cracks me up when people are just faces because they were gone for a while. Like the last we saw him, he was in a, what we were supposed to believe was a brutal I Quit match, I believe, with Cody Rhodes. And he was a heel, a top heel against the top babyface in the company at that time, right? But now he's just a face because he was gone for a while and is now back. I don't particularly mind because I love AJ Styles, but my favorite part of this whole beginning thing was that we have Hardy, the country singer, introducing AJ Styles as the Phenomenal Forearm. And when I tell you, I howled.
I laughed because I took that in so many ways. I looked at the TV and I was like, did he say forearm? I mean, or did he just say phenomenal one? Like, it just get, I don't.
He said the Phenomenal Forearm. I was like, man, well, look, Jelly Roll would never. That's all I'm saying. Jelly Roll would have had it the whole time. But
and if you too want a Phenomenal Forearm, no, I'm just kidding.
They're not a sponsor tonight, but I totally damn would it have done that segue.
Damn it.
Curses. But we do have AJ Styles here saying that he missed everybody while he was away, that it's appropriate that he's coming back here because Nashville was where this all started. He does acknowledge, he does say, like, I regret some things that I've done over the past few months, but it's time to rebuild the legacy of AJ Styles. So he at least is acknowledging his behavior, not really going into any specifics about it, but acknowledging that he was a bad guy, which I always appreciate. And he gives you the house that AJ Styles built line, and out comes Carmelo Hayes. I really liked the exchange that we got here. Let me run it down and I'll get Alex's thoughts. But Melo says that he isn't surprised there aren't that many people in line to face AJ Styles and to beat him. He calls him an old timer and makes a Legends contract joke, says that he's probably out there to sign a Legends contract, which I thought was pretty cute. And then Styles interrupts Carmelo and says that he doesn't really know what he's in store for with LA Knight, that he is relentless. Yeah. And he kind of recalls that he, about how LA Knight went to AJ Styles' house, right? And that Styles and Knight had that match at WrestleMania, which was good. It was good recall because AJ, that was kind of his biggest feud outside of Cody in this more recent run. So I appreciated that they did that. But Carmelo says he doesn't take advice from quitters. And AJ says, if Carmelo was really him, he'd be the U.S. champ. And Melo retorts, well, if AJ was that phenomenal, he'd be the world champ, which I really liked. And out comes LA Knight, gives us a let me talk to ya. He mocks Carmelo Hayes and says that Styles had misled the whole world into thinking that he was going to retire a few months ago. And Knight says that Hayes will get stomped out. And there are a couple of options. One, Knight could punch Hayes and walk down Broadway and have a good night. The second is Melo can beat Styles and have a shot at the U.S. title. And Melo doesn't say anything. That was pretty much where the segment ended. And we head into the match after commercial break. So I liked a lot of this exchange. It felt like it was based on, like, wins and losses, right? Like, we had the kind of cheap shots in the beginning, the old-timer stuff with the Legends contract was cute, but them saying, like, if you backed your shit up, you would have a title. And I like that both of these guys were sniffing around title pictures and couldn't quite get the job done. Carmella's been circling that U.S. title a little bit longer here. But I really liked this. I thought this was well done. I think there's, you know, I think it told us that AJ Styles was going to have to lose his return, which I thought was odd. But I think they actually did the injury angle in a pretty reasonable way. So what did you think of just the barbs that they were trading? And then we will get into our match here.
Yeah, you know, Carmelo doesn't, even with him, the way he's throwing things at AJ, he doesn't sound like a punk. He sounds like someone who's just coming out and just telling you how it is. Most of the time a heel comes out and throws jabs at you, he just sounds like someone who wants to get their butt kicked. Yeah, I don't want to say the wrong
word. You can say the ASS word. We'll allow it, yeah.
Get their ass kicked, you know? So it felt fresh. It felt good. Obviously, we saw what happened to AJ in the match, and we'll talk about that. But other than that, I know he's coming out, and I know he's just trying to get into everyone's face and kind of just, like, show his dominance, Carmelo. I like that. I like how he is. He's not just the NXT guy that just came up. He is like, hey, I'm building my resume here by stepping up to people and not just sitting around. Because I felt like Theory is that to me. I feel like Theory for me is just that, like,
that's fair.
Talks poop to everyone and just, like, gets his ASS kicked all the time. But here with Carmelo, man, the dude could back it up. And he got into AJ's face, and I enjoyed that little, like, exchange, even with AJ coming out.
I agree. I like that Carmelo he's also picking up confidence while he's been picking up some wins against Andrade, right? So he's had his eye on the U.S. title. He's been getting a couple wins against Andrade. So it feels a little more justified than, like, I talk a bunch of crap and can't back it up with any wins for sure.
Yes.
For sure. We got some chats coming in from you guys. A reminder, a lot more of you are tuned in now than when I said this earlier, but Sean is matching the chats from this and donating them to greatergood.org, which transports animals in crisis situations like the hurricanes that are happening now. Between Fightful and Sean personally, there has been $20,000 donated to charity on the back of him as an individual and of this channel. So some good being done here at Fightful, but Bad Robot saying, hello, favorite post show. Glad the chats are going to a great cause. Fightful is the best. Well, I'm biased, but darn it. I kind of think so, too. But I think that I'm starting the Chelsea Green for Royal Rumble agenda now. She can win by mistake, whatever, book it. She's been unbelievable. We're going to talk about her in a little bit. But Will Chisholm kind of saying what we're about to talk about. No Cody, no Roman, no Kevin Owens, no Orton.
Yeah.
All the talent felt like they had a point to prove, and that Jacob promo was balling. Oh my gosh. Yeah. There's something happens when, like, your marquee talent is reserved for a different show where people kind of step up, right? Like, it's kind of nice, and it just opens up some breathing room on the product in general that I think is really good. But some more love coming in from you guys. Tim Traver of the Diecast Collective saying, hi, Kate and Alex. I might not watch a lot of pro wrestling as of late. A lot has been happening, but I watch my Fightful family more. Well,
hell,
that is so sweet.
Thank you
so much for the kind words.
Yes.
I would say mostly, I would say on our Tuesday NXT show, there's literally a 50-50 split of people that watch our review but don't watch NXT and people who watch NXT to watch our review.
I'm one of them.
I have you guys
on in the background. I don't watch NXT, even though my best friend works there.
There you go.
But I do watch you.
There you go. It's always, we appreciate support all the time, but when we are, like, invited into your living rooms, it means so much. It means so much. So welcome back, Tim. We appreciate you. We also did get a chat from Flame Inc., who I'm not going to read it because we don't really talk about other wrestling media on here, but I can't speak to the general principle of it. Flame, if you want to send in something else, I'm more than happy to do that. We can kind of talk about the general theme of it, but I don't want to go into isolating specific personalities for obvious reasons. People are weird enough about Fightful as is. But the kind of general thing was that a lot of people were saying with the new AEW deal that certain podcasters who make a living off of hating AEW will be upset about the 185 million a year that they locked up. And
incredible.
There are some people who do it in bad faith, and I don't even call it criticizing, because what they're doing is just saying a bunch of dumb stuff with nothing to back it up. And then there are people who choose to take an incredibly negative slant, but still provide valuable analysis or criticism or feedback, just in a package that I don't like as much. Mm-hmm. But what's funny is even the ones that are hate podcasters love that this happened, because it means AEW is going to be around another 4 years for them to hate. There are people or trolls or bots or whatever you want to call them that are having an absolute meltdown. And it is so funny because I am not on the side. I get called to shill for everything. And the funniest thing about it is my favorite wrestling promotion right now is New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's neither of the ones that I get called to shill for. But at the end of the day, I'm on the side of pro wrestling. I'm not on the side of any promotion. I am on the side of companies getting big money deals because it means more wrestlers have jobs. I am on the side of wrestling breaking more into the mainstream to convert new fans and more people getting to access it and more people getting to enjoy it and more people understanding how awesome pro wrestling can really be. I don't care which platform it happens on. I really don't. I think there's great wrestling happening in WWE right now. I think there's great wrestling happening in AEW right now. I think there's great wrestling happening in New Japan and TNA and on the indies and NWA and MLW and so forth. I am on the side of pro wrestling. Normal people are on the side of pro wrestling. You could have your favorite presentations of it, just like you have your favorite music genres and stuff like that. But I am on the side of wrestling. I think most normal people realize,
hell yeah,
$5 billion from Netflix to WWE absolutely rules. $185 million a year to the secondary promotion. Hell yeah. More to come. Maybe on Fox. Let's go. I am so excited.
Let them know, baby. Let them know.
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good.
I want to add a little bit to that. I love wrestling. And if, as an old man who's close to his AARP card, I want to say this. I grew up with watching WCW and WWF. Okay. I saw Saturday nights watching, you know, before they got Nitro, watching every Saturday night. I watched Monday Night Raw. Okay, I watched all of it. Everything was fun to watch. It was the early days of the chat rooms. There was always Discord. There was always people fighting each other on chat rooms on who was best, on who, which wrestler was great. But the hate wasn't there. The hate is there now, which is so weird, because it's from people that have not been alive longer than a pair of my underwear. Okay? I just want to put that out there. Okay, and it stinks that that's the discourse on Twitter and certain other places.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas' Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Because we as fans are getting some phenomenal stuff. And I want you to remember the years between WCW going out of business in 2019, how bad, or even 2021, how bad WWE was.
Yeah.
Okay. I have pictures saved of arenas halfway closed for SmackDown where they only had 3,000 people in a 10,000 person arena just 5 years ago. Okay. Raw's going to third hour and them trying to probably go to two because they just wasn't making the rounds.
Wasn't working.
Pay-per-views. The only pay-per-view that was getting full was WrestleMania. Like, there was so much going on. And it took someone else to raise the bar a little bit for others to start raising theirs. And now, you know, people, it's a five-year-old company versus a 70-year-old company.
And it's only versus between, like,
The
two of them at corporate, not even the talent levels.
No.
And people's stupid tiny little brains. Like, is so healthy. And it's not only healthy for fans to have all these alternatives, it's healthy for wrestlers. More wrestlers are employed. Yeah. Conditions go up. They get paid more. All of this is so good for wrestling. Don't let idiots bog you down. It's some really, really, really good shit.
You're talking about, yes, the wrestlers get options.
Yeah.
But we're talking about the production crews are feeding their families.
The accountants that work in these front offices. Are
feeding their families.
Like,
everyone's feeding their family. And it's these little beep, 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 beep.
It's
you know, I'm beeping
it's
myself.
Dweebs.
That go online and just remember, these they don't matter. And people online don't matter. It's what you feel inside and that's what matters. So,
can I tell you when people were being this is not meant to sound
damn it
at all. It's really not. But when people were being so weird to me last week over nothing, somebody who said something to me that I lit up had an avatar of a wrestler who DM'd me. Because my thing when people have avatars of wrestlers, I'm like, man, people with that wrestler would think you're a little bitch if they saw your behavior. And one of those wrestlers DM'd me and just goes, yep.
Yeah.
So just know the wrestlers who you are on a tribalistic bender for think you're a dork. Think you're a huge dork. But let's keep moving along with this episode of SmackDown. Get in those super chats. Get in those humper chats going toward a good cause. We got some more love from Bad Robot, who says more money for charity, and to say now that AJ is back, bring back Shinsuke tag team Pure Strong Styles Collective. I miss Shinsuke. Like, they created all these really cool vignettes for him, and he was made to seem like such a badass, and then they didn't back it up with any wins, which is a bummer. So that's frustrating, but I want him back. Wrestlers getting to take breaks is a good thing. If he's just taking a break, good on him. This is not the most necessary time of year to have your roster super bolstered. But I'm a fan of him. So I miss his work on my television. But I would not mind an AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura tag run. That would be some fun. Would you like that? Or do you want them in singles contests here?
I don't know, actually. I don't know what I want for AJ. I feel like there's so much talent that have been deserving of the time now.
Sure.
That AJ and Shinsuke, as much as I really enjoy their presence and wrestling abilities, please take this as it comes. I don't really miss them like that. You know, I'm having.
Can you believe it? No, I'm just kidding.
I'm sorry. That's my honest opinion. It's nothing against them, but maybe they need a fresh take somewhere else. I don't know, something. I feel like Shinsuke's been here for so long. AJ's been here for so long since 2016. It's okay. It's okay to say, maybe they need to freshen things up for themselves. And sure. I just think they've done everything in WWE. The last thing that I didn't think I would ever see Shinsuke do is speak in his native tongue.
Yeah.
And cut some badass promos. He did it. Now it's just like, okay, cool.
It'll be interesting to see if they get some refreshed creative, because I would like them not to just feel like guys on the show. I think those are sure. two of the best wrestlers in the whole wide world, so they should probably do some cool stuff with it. But hey, you know what? Like 10 minutes ago, we recapped all that Carmelo to AJ stuff, and then they had the match, which was really, really, really fun. They had this, I thought, pretty well done injury angle. I can understand why people don't like it. But if you're going to go with this angle, I felt like it was one of the more realistic ones that they've done. Mm-hmm. And I am intrigued to see where this goes for AJ. And I already like where it's going for Carmelo. So you have AJ Styles hitting a pop-up neck breaker, which looked awesome. He is so jacked. This version of AJ Styles and Randy Orton, they are so jacked. But Melo comes down on Styles' leg after that pop-up neck breaker. The match calls off the match due to injury, I believe a kayfabe injury, and Styles suffered a leg injury earlier in the match, so that was kind of like the nail in the coffin for it. Melo gets announced as the winner, and then LA Knight steps into the ring and hits that BFT on Carmelo Hayes. So some good stuff in that match. Like, I like that these matches are getting more time, especially if they are going to go to 3 hours. They have to get used to having mm-hmm. longer match times in this. AJ Styles, we find out later, went to a local medical facility.
Facilities are back.
Shown in the trainer's room. But some good stuff in this opener. I really liked the chemistry that the two of them have. And I don't normally like injury angles, especially for someone who's just returning, but I am kind of intrigued by it. I gotta say, I thought it was not done in such a corny "my leg" way. Like, this felt like he actually kind of got injured in the match, and people get injured in matches. People get injured in combat sports all the time. So what did you think of our opener? Did you like what we got, or were you like, OMG, why is AJ Styles losing in his return match?
No, I mean, they're making Carmelo look strong, and if the way to make him look strong is by an injury, having the person quit the match, you're still having him there. Yeah, I know he took a BFT, EFT, something.
The BFT, the blood force trauma. Yeah.
Yes, I know he took that at the end. But other than that, I mean, he's showing off in the ring, man. So yeah. Let's keep on racking. However you want to make him give him wins, let him continue racking them. You know, here's the thing. Anytime the ring announcer, the commentary table decides to continue to harp on an injury, they kind of gave it away.
Yes. Yeah. So it was just less cheesy from in the ring. It was like, like the ref actually evaluated whether he needed to stop the match. Like a notify the presses kind of thing. It was well done in that regard.
Yeah, I kind of went, because I looked at the screen and I was like, oh God, did he actually get injured? But then as they continued to harp on it on the commentary, I was like, okay, you got
me. How rarely do we get even that moment, though? Did that really happen?
Yeah,
like,
we don't.
Never get that. No. We never get that. We'll confirm this now, because Sean confirmed this. Will saying, was that a machine guns tease that they showed? PW Insider also reported that, I believe. But Sean Rossap here at Fightful confirming Motor City Machine Guns to SmackDown. Absolutely hilarious rib on our NXT scoopster, Corey Brennan, who has been asked for like months and months and months about like, when is the Motor City Machine Guns showing up at NXT? They're skipping NXT. They're going right to SmackDown, it looks like. So fantastic rib. Keep bugging Corey about it just because it's fun. I like it when he is annoyed because he's a coward. So, but that's a huge shot in the arm for the tag division, one of the most legendary tag teams. If you're not familiar with them, if you're a newer fan, oftentimes credited alongside the Young Bucks as like people kind of starting this more modern tag style of wrestling. Like, they kind of laid the foundation for it. I would argue SAP and ROH did too, or SAT and ROH did as well. Not SAP, not El Generico, and Helico, and Serpentico, but SATs, the real OGs. And then the Young Bucks really picked it up and popularized it from there. So You're going to have a lot of fun dream matches in that incoming tag team. And this tag team division growing, getting better. We could use it, which I think is good. But man, that main event sure made me excited for some of the possibilities there. Are you a Motor City Machine Guns fan? Are you just kind of peripherally familiar with them?
In passing, like two ships in a night. Sure. Okay. You know, it's... I've definitely heard the names. I've just haven't had the chance to actually sit there and read, or sure. not read, I'm sorry, watch any of the matches. I'm sure we'll get some phenomenal, like, amazing things.
Forearms,
yeah. WWE will do their thing to, you know, to hype them up and kind of tell their backstory and whatnot. But, yeah, it'll be cool. I mean, they are a little older. That I do know, right? So, which would be the case. Why would you put, you know, them in NXT? You don't want them to kind of,
sure.
unfortunately, get lost in the sauce there or get hurt. So why not just bring them straight into SmackDown, which is a great thing. Plus, you know, if I'm a casual, how do you feel? Do you think that the people in the arena will pop for them? Because it's kind of iffy.
They're popping for everything all the time, whether they know about it or not. So I think they will get a big pop. If they had gone to NXT, they are at a phase in their career where I would assume that if they were going to NXT, it would have been like a hybrid role like Sean Spears has, for example, right now, where he's doing some on-screen work, but also doing some producing and some training. But there's a whole catalog. A lot of it's taken place in ROH and TNA. The chat mentioning that when the Young Bucks were Generation Me, they had some really, really incredible new age tag team wrestling stuff that was on the cutting edge then, like never been done before stuff that I really, really appreciate. I usually lean more old school. Like I kind of like the like 80s NWA tag wrestling. Sure. I lean more FTR, but I still have such an appreciation for the way that this has evolved, because wrestling's supposed to evolve. Like everybody that complains about Ospreay, it's like, well, no, you're supposed to be pushing the envelope on stuff. Right. So I think that is pretty neat. And Will saying, I could be looking too deep, but they did change the Machine Guns to the main roster because the Lucha Brothers are not coming in at this point. I don't know if that would determine things too much. I did hear, and I didn't hear this from Sean, so I don't know, but I believe there was creative plans lined up for the Lucha Brothers incoming. So they might have just said, sure, we'll plug them in instead. I'm not sure if that's 100% true, and I'm not sure if, you know, they would do just a you're in, you're out kind of thing, but Penta's still under contract. Rey Fénix has a lot of injury time tacked on if they want to enforce all of it, but we will see. We will see. Guys, thank you so much for the support. We got a huge, huge chat from Ryan Sully. Thank you so much.
Let's go, Ryan.
Our viewers keep going up, so thank you so much for the continued support. But a reminder, chats like this and all of your chats tonight are matched by Sean going toward hurricane relief through the Greater Good organization, transporting pets in crisis situation. But Ryan Sully with this very generous chat saying, hey, Kate, hey, Alex, really enjoyed tonight's episode of SmackDown. Me too. And both women's matches were good.
Yeah, yeah.
Bailey said the B word. Ladder match rocked. I miss Candice LeRae on my screen. Me too. She's so great. So speedy in the ring. She should be champion. A speed champion? Because that's what I heard is the case. Yeah, Indy Hartwell's another one. They really got to get a handle on these NXT call-ups, because now generations of NXT call-ups have come and gone without any real sustained pushes, except for Bron Breakker and Carmelo Hayes. Dragunov now out 6 to 9 months, which absolutely sucks. So I hope they have plans for people they're calling up instead of just saying, we need to bolster the rosters here.
Sure.
Guys, keep those chats coming. We are going to move along here. Very excited about the Motor City Machine Gun news, but we do get a follow-up with a fantastic, fantastic dumpster match between Meechan and Chelsea Green. I had so much fun watching this, and it's like they were listening to our show last week, because...
Maybe.
We had said, like, we want them to bring the badass hard-hitting stuff in this. We don't want the match to be a joke. We want to laugh with Chelsea Green, not at Chelsea Green. And to me, that's 100% what we got with this match. way too many garbage puns on commentary and after. Like, that actually took away from the experience for me. But this was super, super fun. Meechin bumps hard, dude. Like, sure. She bumps hard. And Chelsea took a lot of, like, crazy, crazy spots in this, too, including the ending. But this was 10.5 minutes, which I think is perfect for this style match. Like, you don't want it to be a sprint, but you also don't want it to go too long because this is kind of about the stipulation as much as anything. But Piper Niven comes in out of nowhere attacking Meechin. Everyone in phenomenal gear, by the way. Chelsea looked amazing. Meechin looked awesome. Piper showing up with her outfit was great. But she runs in at Meechin, and Meechin moves, and Niven hits the dumpster, and she hit that hard. She ate that hard.
Yeah.
But we got a two spot on the apron, and Chelsea Green trying to suplex Meechin, but Meechin blocking it. I say every time she's on screen, one of the best counter wrestlers ever. She really, really is. She power bombs Chelsea Green through a table into the dumpster. Meechin closes the lid on the dumpster and wins. Green pops out at the end, and she has garbage all over her. Just like, she's like if Lucille Ball could really go in the ring. Like, she really is. She's so fantastic. I had so much fun watching this whole thing. Chelsea's in-ring selflessness combined with Meechin's counter wrestling and both of their willingness to take really hard bumps made this match for me. I adored everything we got out of this. This is a great example of a title adjacent program that really, really worked, that kind of had adjacent program implications, right? Both of them were in the picture challenging Nia Jax. I have only great things to say about this. Absolutely loved it. Did you have as much fun as I did? My only complaint is, like, I feel like the dumpster should have had sequins or been pink or something. That's just me.
No, you know, that would have ruined it 100%, Kate. I love that Corey, that's Corey. Corey Graves on the call, right? Yeah, that would be him. Mentioned that this is an official, real dumpster. Not a WWE dumpster.
No, a regulation dumpster. Regulation,
yeah, yeah. I'm like, really? Like, you didn't have to throw that in there. You just pooped over your own product, bro.
I think what he was going for was, like, this isn't gimmicked. This isn't, like, you know what I mean?
Well, I know, but right, yeah.
It came out really weird when he was like, this is a regulation dumpster.
Out of the entire match, that's all that I could complain about, because I was just like, don't say that. Just say, man, look at the massive size of this dumpster. Like, you know, it's tough, it's rough, it's, you're gonna get hurt. Other than that, I thought the ladies showed off. It's about time we get some cool matches like this for them. They deserve it.
Hell yeah.
I enjoy the physicality that they put into it. I also could have done without the run-in from Piper Niven. I think that if you would have just let them both cook, it would have been fine as well. The very ending was really cool. I was just like, wait, the shot made it look weird, because I was like, which way is that dumpster, like, running? Because I was disoriented. I was like, is it long ways or is it sideways? Because if she just goes off a little too far and it's sideways, she's going to hit her head.
Yeah.
And then when they finally changed the shot, I was like, thank God, because that would have been dreadful. Scary. But very, very good. Very good match. They really showed off tonight, which shows you, like, let the girls do their thing. We see it the time on AEW television. The girls do their thing over there, so let them do their thing in the dubba dubba, you know.
Yeah, I agree letting them show out in stipulation.
Hell yes,
is super fun. Well, we've got a lot more SmackDown to talk about. We've got some Bad Blood to talk about as well. We're gonna take a moment to tell you about the betting lines at BetOnline.ag. They've been in business over 25 years. They have some of the earliest betting lines and some of the most informed decisions as well that you can make in your online betting. You can bet on wrestling, you can bet on football, you can bet on so many sports, including esports. You got race books, you got poker all around. BetOnline.ag made a huge investment in us. We ask that you return the favor to them. Let them know you found out about them through us. But they have some really fun stuff lined up for the betting lines here at Bad Blood, in addition to the matches. So we'll run down the odds for you. We've got Does Dominic escape the shark cage? That's sitting at a yes at a minus 220. That's not like an overwhelming one. I feel like that's a fun one to play with. That's a fun one to play with because I think that could go either way. Like, I think he could be prevented from leaving somehow, or I think that he could escape. But I think this is Rio's to win at the end of the day. Do you think Dominic escapes the shark cage, Alex?
I think he does something to kind of just ruin the match for Rhea.
I feel like it's Rhea's time. So I think maybe he escapes, but I think that Rhea hits him with a riptide out of the air or something. I don't know. I don't know. But your Hell in a Cell match, CM Punk and Drew McIntyre, CM Punk at a minus 2,000 there. Pretty heavy favorite. I think that's probably right. Do you think Punk is taking this from Drew in the cell?
I think, for some reason, I feel like this is Punk's thing. This is moment, his call to kind of just move away finally from everything Drew McIntyre.
I think so. He's got to get his comeuppance on the bracelet thief. So we got to have that. But we get a match between it. Damian Priest, who's favorited at a minus 500 here against Finn Balor at a plus 300. I think that one's a pretty obvious one. Damian Priest is taking that one, right, Alex?
Yeah, 100%. Can't go against the only Puerto Rican in the match.
Gunther, outside of Punk being that whopping minus 2,000, you got Gunther at a minus... is he at a minus 10,000? Holy cow. Yeah, he's at a minus 10,000. Everybody thinks he's winning this match against Sami Zayn. I hugely think that Sami Zayn does not get the best of him here. Gunther has to continue on this reign. What do you think?
Yeah, Gunther's gonna... Yeah, there's ain't nobody beating him yet until you know who. I'm not gonna say who. You guys know who.
No? Oh.
Woof, woof.
Oh, yeah? Do. I think you might see John Cena do it.
Oh, God, no. God, no. Why is he even back?
Oh, my gosh. It's his retirement year.
I forgot all about that, too.
One more. The All-American guy beating the foreign heel. I think it's...
Let's not do that. God, that is very... so like, you know who. I'm not going to mention his name.
We've got some more fun prop bets in this. We'll see him Punk or Drew McIntyre bleed. Both is at a minus 185. Neither's at a plus 250. Drew McIntyre only at a plus 350. CM Punk only at a plus 290. So that's kind of a fun one.
Yeah, there's going to be blood.
Does Jimmy Uso return? Is that a minus 300 in the yes column? That one I might take a swing at bet-wise, too. And Nia Jax versus Bayley. Nia retaining at a minus 450. I think that's probably right. But does Tiffany Stratton cash in? We're going to talk about some stuff tonight that made that a little more interesting, in my opinion. Minus 500 in the no column, but I don't know. Today, things looked like there was a little more tension. Do you think Nia wins, and do you think that Tiffany takes advantage? What do you think?
Yeah, I think Nia retains, and I think that we're going to get really close to what could look like okay, I'm going to really do this. And, sure. You know, and then this is probably going to set up something for later on. I mean, we still got one more pay-per-view, so we got, you know, Survivor Series coming up, friends, and then that's it. Then we're flying into the Netflix era, and I believe that once the Netflix era begins, well, she's on SmackDown, so yeah.
Well,
no.
Who knows? They could do all sorts of stuff too. There.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, we might start the new year. Sure. With new people. You don't know, but
We do have, I'm alone in my principles on this, apparently. Liv Morgan, yes. Heavily favorited at a minus 700. Maybe I'm voting with my heart for Rhea, but some fun prop bets over that. There.
When has your heart ever led you towards something good?
It only gets me in trouble.
Except when you met me. Come on.
I know, you. The love I have for Fightful in general, but we
thank everyone.
You did the thing. We do thank our sponsors here at BetOnline.ag. We're going to let Sean Rostap tell you a little bit more about them, but we did just want to give you those odds and our predictions alongside of it. But let's have Sean do the thing.
Whoa! You can bet on wrestling? Yeah, you can at BetOnline.ag. We've given you a bunch of underdog picks over at Fightful since we started to work with BetOnline.ag. But well before they were a partner, That's where we got our odds from for years. Whether it be major shows or your continental classics and other things like that, they always have a bunch of interesting odds for you over at BetOnline.ag. But it's not just that. Payouts in minutes, high credit card acceptance, a safe and secure environment, and they've been trusted for over 25 years. They got the earliest lines, the fastest payouts, and the ability to bet on wrestling. How cool is that? If you think you know so much about this, go put your money down. Go do it. Show the world. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can. BetOnline.ag.
BetOnline.ag. Well, we gave them plenty of TV time tonight. Okay, we're moving on to a new segment over here. Please get in your super chats and humper chats as we continue down the line. Over 5,000 of you watching right now across platforms. We thank you so much for tuning in on our Go Home to Bad Blood. Before we dive back in, though, Flame Inc. with another question. If someone made a Super Bowl of wrestling card, match of each... the major shows, what matches would there be? Like if WWE, AEW, TNA, New Japan, AAA, PWG, etc. were in it. The thing that always just pops to mind for, this is just me being completely selfish, like Eddie Kingston versus Kevin Owens is always just like at the top of the list for me. Like I need that. I would say Ospreay and Seth Rollins for sure. I would say now that Delta's heading to NXT, it looks like, man, Chris Statlander and Delta would be on my women's list for sure. Zack Sabre Jr. versus literally everybody I could ever think of.
there's her love, everyone.
All of TNA. You know what?
Her and her heart.
Give me a full TMDK versus Blackpool Combat Club feud. I'm in on that. Cause then you still keep that Danielson ZSJ rivalry alive. What about you? What do you think?
Yo, honestly, for real, there's just too many. we're in a renaissance of wrestling, which I would like to say that Freddie and I like claimed that in 2021, 2022, sure, when things were starting off between him and I. Yes, we're an item.
It's so cute.
It's my teen idol. but yeah, like there's just too much going on. There's a renaissance of wrestling, and it's just...
I'm going to give you two people in AEW, and you have to pick their WWE opponent, ready? Because I know you like these ones. Mariah May.
Oh my God.
Who in WWE? There you go. Okay. I'm trying to think of someone. Men's...
I love Isla Dawn.
Singles roster. Okay, Sami Zayn versus somebody in AEW. Go.
Oh, geez. I would love to see him. Gosh, that's hard. Yeah. I'll be completely honest with you, man. Off the top of my head, I thought Ricochet.
Ooh.
I don't know why.
Hell yeah, why not?
But because Sami Zayn is a scrappy ground wrestling who will beat the crap out of you. You know, like he's tough. Like you... When Sammy fights,
can't
watch
keep him
fight.
Down, yeah.
He's tough, man. And then if you're going to fight someone, you're going to have to fight someone if you know, like oil and water, right? Like you just have someone like Ricochet who is a high flyer.
Sure.
You know, and having to keep him down and beat the crap out of him, that would be actually
I'll say Sammy versus Takeshita. There's so many. Like I could sit here all day and do this. Pete Dunne versus Anthony Bowens. God. Like all day. Ugh, how dare you. Ricardo saying at work, hi Bangs, hi Clavicle, hi chat, see you later. You're
the best.
I should
just rip my shirt off and just show them off.
But... You should. Well, that reminds me of Hulk Hogan, so please don't do that.
Yeah, let's not do that. Do I look like a... Never mind. I'm like,
Norm was saying, here's some Kiss My Grits money for hurricane relief, Bangs oil, and Clavicle polish.
Hell
now
yeah.
Let's crank. How was wrestling tonight? I had... A meat Sandy. It was stupendous. Well, I'm glad you had a meat sandwich.
Hey, can I just say thank you to all of you, man? North Carolina is my adopted state. You know, I come to the United States via Puerto Rico into New Jersey and back down here now. And I do got to say this. Western North Carolina is destroyed. Yeah. There's a stretch of Western North Carolina that existed on Thursday that does not exist anymore. Towns have been completely wiped off the map. Topography and the way that the Earth is shaped is gone. And I'm going to tell you right now, hundreds of years from now, well, just like we did, where we saw excavations and water levels on rocks and stuff like that, right? Like when geologists see that, people will find that in Western North Carolina. And years from now, people will be digging cars.
It's like biblical shit.
Everything. Yeah. So like people will one day find iPhones 100 years from now. Like, what is this? You know? Yeah. And unfortunately, from what I'm hearing, you know, people. So, yeah. You know, like this is, we thank you because this means a lot, especially for those people out there that don't even have power or internet yet or anything like that.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Our good friend Cassidy Haynes at Body Slam is in the affected area, and I couldn't get a hold of him for a couple of days there. He's okay. His family is okay, but he's just like slowly walking around traumatized, trying to track down relatives, sure. Trying to help his friend's business, like protecting them from looters, like all the stuff that you don't even really think about, trying to get food that's not like a hot pocket.
Apocalyptic.
It's really rough down there. It's really rough down there. So your chat's being matched by Sean tonight for donation. So we very much appreciate it so much, but we're going to keep moving along here. Please leave a thumbs up on this video as well. That is a easy, free way to help us. But we move on to the segment where we find out that Naomi is going to be alongside Bianca and Jade co-hosting. Will with the chat saying that I love how Bianca still doesn't like Bailey. I love that too. I hate when people are like, well, suddenly we're both faces or suddenly we're both heels. But so we're fine now. No. Bianca still holding a grudge. I'm sure they're fighting over my cousin Michael is what's really happening here, because my cousin Michael has the biggest crush on Bianca. I get Montez Ford hater texts from him every Friday that Montez is on, because he's the only thing standing the way between him and Bianca in his mind. But I love that. I love that Bianca is still, they had a months, if not years long rivalry. Like that shouldn't just go away because they're both faces, right? So some good stuff there. And Naomi also picking up the win here. Let's talk about that match really quick here, since we are on the topic of her. But we have Naomi beating Tiffany Stratton with some really good in-ring for both of them. They had great chemistry tonight. Tiffany Stratton's acrobatic side is so obvious, and so is Naomi's. But I felt like tonight we saw some showcases of Tiffany's strength. And that was really cool to see, because we don't always get that from her. But They trade roll-ups at the end here, but Naomi gets the best of it for the win, which I thought was good. We see that prettiest moonsault ever miss. We see a lot of good stuff in here, which I really liked. But this went the way it needed to. Tiffany's getting a little bit more insecure. We're going to talk about the segment with Bailey, Nia, and her, with her briefcase here and her relationship with Nia. So her losing is a productive loss, because it sows that seeds of doubt a little bit more. And God, did Naomi ever need a win. Let's get her on track here. What did you think of this match? And then we'll kind of Tarantino it back to the promo that set it up.
Yeah, off the top of my head, it's just time. They got time. So they were able to showcase some good back and forth. They were able to, you know, go into the ring and do some really cool things. I've always told you this. I love my women fighting. And That's what they did tonight. It wasn't a lot of, like, you know, just sitting around or, you know, whatever the case may be. Like, they just went out there and did their thing, which was great. Now, I do want to say that Tiffy's strength is definitely her in-ring ability.
Yeah.
She's really good at what she does. Very agile. She doesn't miss much, if you notice.
Yeah.
And I enjoy that. And you know, with Naomi, man, she's always on top of her game, man. I don't know why she's not, to me, she's not more elevated in the women's division. And it's sad, because when I think of her, I think that she's a great wrestler, but I don't, for some reason, because I guess the way that WWE has trained me to think, I don't see her in that same echelon as a Becky or Charlotte, you know, up there.
It's a lack
unfortunately
of wins. It's like she was this big Royal Rumble surprise and she hasn't had any, like,
that's what it is.
Impact wins.
But other than that, man, they killed it. And you know, you said you want to talk about like the way that they got in here. So,
yes, we will talk about that shortly, but a couple more chats from you guys. Thank you so much for the support. Tom LaValley saying the first 40 minutes of Rampage ruled. Thank you for the Rampage, love. Then Jericho came out. I guess he made an appearance in the Chelsea Mia match, calling him a dumpster. Well, I will let your chat speak for itself, but I will simply say I don't disagree. Tim McFowell with a very generous chat. Thank you so much. Going toward a good cause tonight. We thank you. Tim saying, late joiner, but money's for a good cause. I don't know if it's because I haven't watched the main roster in a few weeks, but tonight didn't suck. Time and stories for women, continued mellow push, and a banger of a tag ladder match. I think it was what the chat that was pulled up earlier kind of alluded to, that like when those top names are reserved for tomorrow, that mid-card has a chance to fully show out. And I feel like they did tonight. I feel like they did tonight. So some good stuff. But let's talk about this Bayley promo. She's just one of the most valuable women in all of wrestling. I love her so much. But Bayley says that she isn't here to waste anyone's time. And she immediately calls out Nia, which I love. Her music hits and she walks out with Tiffany. Bayley even said, bring Tiffany if you want. I don't care. Which I love. She's not scared. But Jax said that if Bayley had something to say, she should say it. And Bayley said that Jax has never understood the importance of the women's championship. She talks about a lot of other WWE women's champions, names that we haven't heard in a long time. Some that are working backstage, like Molly Holly. We love that. And that those champions made that belt seem larger than life, but Jax doesn't do that for the title. And Bayley says, even so, none of them have had the dominant championship run that Nia is on right now, which I thought was a really beautiful way of being like, you don't respect the title, but I acknowledge you're a dominant champion. She's so good at stuff like that. But she says she's going to be the one to take the title off of Nia's shoulders. And the only other person that's going after it is Tiffany Stratton. And she kind of baits Tiffany into tipping her hand a little bit there, saying that she will cash in that briefcase on Nia. And she kind of fumbles over her words and is all, no, I won't. Yes, I will, but I won't. I loved it. I love that she was caught off guard. But she calls Bayley Pam, which I thought was kind of funny and all of that.
She did. I love that.
And Bayley says the least she could do is respect Nia Jax's dominance and calls Stratton a stupid bitch.
Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it.
Gimmick infringement on Okada, I tell you. No, very fun. Very fun thing here. But Bayley takes out both Nia and Tiffany here, and the segment ends with Bayley holding the title and draping it over Nia Jax. Now, to me, that says Nia is going to retain, but it does. I didn't think the cash-in was happening tomorrow. I still don't think it is, but if I wouldn't be as surprised if it was. They've done a good job with the pacing of this story, which isn't something that we always see, especially this time of year. So I like that. I feel like it's kind of possible at any moment here. And Tiffany kind of crept her way over to the laid out Nia Jax, and the referee is like, you gonna do it? The crowd is chanting cash in. And she opts not to. Nia Jax leaves the rings, and that's when Naomi's music hits going into the next match. So some really, really productive stuff in this women's title picture right now. Do you think Tiffany is cashing in? I can't remember what you said on our prop bets, but
no. No, not yet. I mean, I think this is the closest we'll see to a cash in, this is where we start seeing the deterioration of that relationship with these two. I think maybe the final SmackDown of the year, you kind of see someone get their hand raised and we go into the new year with a new champ, maybe.
Sure.
Could they hold it for 2 months? They sure can. You're talking about only, 8 shows. You know, sure. Whatever, 13 shows.
I forgot. And that's assuming every show that you're on, right?
Correct. Yeah. Look today, the entire part of the roster was missing today and they still had a great show. So I don't think they don't really need to showcase her on. She could just be a backstage segment, you know?
Sure. I agree.
I agree.
Well, we liked SmackDown tonight, but I believe the title for Alex Pulowski is professional curmudgeon, so we'll bring him on here for this hour of hour. Alex and I will be behind the paywall tomorrow for Bad Blood with your post show. Alex, how you doing?
Well, listen, I wasn't even going to come on the show.
Oh.
But then I heard you praise something that was just the worst thing on the entire show.
Was it me?
No, it wasn't you. It wasn't you. You're innocent. It's always Kate. It's always Kate's fault. So I don't even have a sour fowler because most of the show was actually really good. Depending on what of the AJ Styles thing is happening, like the production after the match where they cut back to the ring way too late for the BFT from LA Knight. Like if any part of it is a work, that was such a terrible bit of camera.
The timing
stuff
was bad. Yeah.
I don't know what any of that is happening. We'll find out, I'm sure, in the coming days, what of that is happening, but I don't know what it, I'm not sure whom it behooves to like fake an injury for AJ Styles. So if it's a real one, that's awful. And that's something that I'm sour about. That AJ Styles comes back and is immediately injured. But if it's not an injury, then I'm sour about it too, because they did the work really poorly. Ooh. So, yeah, there's either way, they cannot win with me.
Well, you had to have something, right?
Right,
so.
Right. But the other thing was Bayley saying that Nia is a dominant champion. She's been champion for 2 months and one day. She's had one title defense and one other televised match. You cannot have your babyface, who was supposed to be the voice of reason, lie. We know she's not dominant. She's been champion for 2 months and had one title defense. That's not dominant. If she's been champion for 8 months and beaten everybody they put in front of her, all the top names. She beat Jade. She beat Bianca. Asuka came back from injury, and she beat Asuka. She beat Charlotte twice. Then she's a dominant champion. Stop throwing things around. Adjectives mean things. The name, like, if you look up dominant in the dictionary, it has a meaning, and none of the things you will find after dominant, A-D-J. None of the things you will find there apply to this reign. So it is a lie that was put in the mouth of Bayley.
That is,
don't do that.
Fair. I was thinking more in terms of like dominant champion is one thing, and that's fair. I was thinking in terms of Nia's been on a pretty dominant run, like basically since she's come back. So
dominant reign is very different than dominant run. And the dominant reign is the thing that they had her say. And words have meaning, and they should be used accordingly.
If anything is here to raid, it's you on our parade, Alex Pulowski.
This is really funny, Ace. You know what? Because we live in a world where there are not only two options for anything.
I just
you don't need to lie and say she's the most dominant champion ever. And you don't need to bury her to her face either. There's a whole spectrum in between those two things. Pick something in between those things and do that, and I'd be a lot less perturbed.
Well, it's almost upsetting that you only have one thing to be fully perturbed about, but anything
Jericho ruined Rampage, so.
Okay, fair enough. We had a chat that I was thinking of you during, because they said that Jericho made an appearance during the Chelsea Mia match, because he's basically a dumpster.
He played the role of the dumpster. Yes.
You can catch Alex Pulowski and I behind the paywall on FightfulSelect.com. We will be covering Bad Blood. We will both be watching it. It will not be Bad Blind. But for the Saudi Arabia pay-per-views, we always do our favorite Sands of Blind, where Alex doesn't watch. And I have to describe it to him and throw some lies in there. But come join us. We have a lot of fun on FightfulSelect.com. Alex, thanks so much for stopping by.
You're very welcome. Have a great rest of your show. I will see you tomorrow.
Pulowski, bye. Kate, tomorrow. So, hey, there are things that Alex doesn't like that I do like. There are things that Alex catches that I don't catch. But I'll tell you what. You know who always catches anybody that's trying to attack your security, your internet security? Is NordVPN. They've got you covered. We are in a world where we still are waiting to transition from pay-per-views to Max. We're going to have discounted pay-per-views, but how deep does that discount run? You know what I mean? Is it going to be cheaper than buying them in a different country?
Mm-hmm.
There's so many reasons to sign up for NordVPN. And darn it, we're here to tell you all about it.
I have long talked with you guys about the content that you can access with NordVPN.com/Fightful, but it doesn't just stop at pro wrestling. You can get MMA and boxing pay-per-views at a much more affordable price when you change your virtual location with just one click using NordVPN.com/Fightful. It doesn't stop there either. Football games. Man, if you want to check out those out-of-market football games, you don't have to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. You can get NordVPN.com/Fightful and just change your virtual location. How about baseball games? They make it harder than ever to actually watch baseball games. It is a task, not with NordVPN.com/Fightful. They got everything you need, in addition to all the threat protection and security that comes with NordVPN. But if you want that content, NordVPN.com/Fightful is right for you.
NordVPN, one of our longest running, one of our most valuable sponsors. You get such a big discount with NordVPN and the code Fightful. This is not like 10% off and free shipping. You save a ton if you sign up for multiple years. Like so much. So we really encourage you to check out NordVPN, not just because of their sponsorship at us, but you really do get a tremendous value. You can see Alex Cardoza.
And unless you watch AEW Dynamite on Max.
There you go. Already uploading some pay-per-views in certain countries that you can access on NordVPN. I'm just saying. So some good stuff from our partners, but we are heading into our main event. So last call for Super Chats and Humper Chats. Final reminder, I know I've said it a lot, but we get to see the numbers keep rising. We appreciate the viewership that we're picking up. So I remind you one more time that Sean is matching your donations for Super Chats tonight and making donations to the Greater Good organization, which helps transport pets in times of crisis like we have with Hurricane Helene. So some good charitable stuff there. Just know that your chats are going toward a good cause. Final reminder as well to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. In addition to Motor City Machine Guns being signed, I'm sure there'll be more details behind the paywall. News about the Warner deal. Every perspective you can need about the Lucha Brothers situation. WWE, AEW, their perspective, whatever. The difference between tort law and contract tampering. So much clarity this week on Fightful Select. The Hurt Syndicate signing news. Yes, it seemed obvious they were coming in. No, we don't get to report based on vibes. MVP signed. Shelton Benjamin signed. Bobby Lashley signed and imminent to debut for AEW. Wrestle Dream right around the corner. So we will see what is cooking there. But back here on SmackDown, we have the Bloodline. And man, Jacob Fatu could not be more it if he was the information technology department somewhere. He is so IT. This guy is so good. This promo just essentially says that everyone loves the tribal chief, and if you don't love him, he'll make you love the tribal chief. It's not even what he said, just the way that he said it and how perfect and natural he has been in this whole thing. I think Solo Sikoa has been underrated in it, but the people who are concerned about him overshadowing Solo Sikoa, I understand why, because Jacob Fatu is just at such a high level. He immediately walked into this and felt like a main eventer. I'm so excited for the success he's having. This promo just made me want to watch. I was loving what we got here. Made me excited for tomorrow, too, to be perfectly honest, but what did you think of this promo? I thought it was so much fun. The chat calling him the real tribal chief, man.
I like Jacob. Jacob is he makes me nervous because as much praise as he's giving you and being on, you know, as tough as he is, I don't know, man. There's always that side that of me that thinks he's going to turn around and super kick you in the mouth and kind of like lay you out. You know, like he seems dangerous. And
he does seem dangerous.
And you got to worry about that. I know they haven't shown anything for them to kind of prove it, because all they've been doing is to kind of have him praise him and be like, he's your tribal chief. He's your tribal chief. You know? But
just like Dead Ringer. Like
but I do feel like, holy crap, if something were to come down the line, he'd be it.
Yeah.
You know, he'd be it. But the segment went well. I am so happy that it wasn't like something that was completely bookended or interweaved through the show. The show had everything else going on besides that. Like, you knew that they were going to fight because we saw the vignette in the beginning of the event. You know, like that tag team match was coming, but that was it.
I agree. I want our overlay back. Sean always makes fun of me because he's like, we have the background, so you don't have to do that anymore. But I think this looks nicer. I like this setup, and I like Jacob Fatu. I agree. When we get to like him versus Roman one-on-one, it is going to be so monumentous. And I'm waiting for the who turns on who piece of this too.
Yeah, me too.
Not coming before Survivor Series, but man, it's going to be really fun when it happens. I see our numbers picking up. Sean is not on. He's had some personal stuff going on, but he did confirm Motor City Machine Guns are signed, if that's what you guys are here to talk about. Sure looks like they're heading to SmackDown. Tom LaValle with another super chat saying, one more chat for the animals here. You guys rock. But right now we got cats and dogs living together. Mass hysteria. I know they might be fused together with like cat dog, if you remember from Nickelodeon.
I can't believe you just said that. Cat I gotta tell dog. You, I'm gonna tell you something off air because I'm not gonna say it here. But
alone in a world with a little cat dog.
Oh god!
If you have no idea what I'm talking about, it was a short-lived cartoon, and it was.
If you have no idea what you're talking about, you're too young for me.
It's true. Yeah, you're up way past your bedtime if you're too young for this. But we've got our main event to talk about, and what a main event it was! It's got a full 20 minutes on the nose. I loved this. We do have our triple threat ladder match for the tag titles. Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa versus DIY versus the Street Profits. Holy hell, was this fun. This is what tag team wrestling can be if you stop treating the belts like props and bigger stories, which is what is happening on both Raw and SmackDown. Raw, it's almost even worse because they just never defend them. Here we know they're going to be tied up in the bloodline because the story beckons for it, but you keep giving me stuff like this, I ain't complaining. This was so much fun. Apologies to my cousin who hates Montez Ford because he's in love with Bianca Belair, but he showed out, as did Angelo Dawkins. They had a death wish in this. My goodness, they were jumping all over the place. That spot where Dawkins got on Ciampa's shoulders was insane for that doomsday blockbuster that happened. Didn't quite land, but my God, just like we saw so many ladder matches in such a short period of time between AEW and WWE. I thought I was burnt out on them and I didn't want to see it anymore, but I was wrong because I wanted to see this. This was just fantastic. Ford with the From the Heavens to Loa through the table. Took them out of the equation for a little bit, but you do see Loa climbing the ladder, failing to reach, but then eventually getting it. This had every spot you could possibly want. We'd be sitting here for another hour if I named every spot that I wrote down in my notes here. Yeah. But this was so much fun. Everybody showed out. And I got to say, like, DIY didn't do most of the flashier stuff in this, but man, ring generals directing traffic in a match like this is so important. Not that Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa are like green or that the Street Profits don't have years of experience behind them, but like, there's always in stuff like this, you need guys that are kind of architects of certain things, and they are so valuable in that. Luis kind of calling up all the fundamentals of this. Super crazy Montez bump check, DIY going crazy check, accidentally memeable Tonga Loa spot check. Like, you got everything you could possibly want in this. Another chat from Van Twinblade saying, hey nerds, check the Discord, I'm puppy sitting. I can't check the Discord I'm on air, but I'll ask Luis too in case there's anything in there we're talking about. But what did you think of our main event? I had so much fun watching this.
Yeah, listen, they let them go out there. They had fun. They did a lot of crazy, not crazy spots. We've obviously seen crazier. But they did a lot of great spots where it just seemed like nobody was gonna make it back into the ring.
Yes, everything on the outside, yeah.
A lot, yeah. Overall, I liked it, man. They really, the way the match ended was done really well. You didn't have the usual like slowly climbing the ladder, waiting for the next person to grab you by the foot. No, it seemed like every time they were on the ladder, they were up to, you know, speed on what was happening and what was the next move that we were going to do and exactly how they were going to execute, you know, each other, basically. Like, I mean, they started helping each other out on the side of the ring there. They were tired of the bloodline, which is great. You kind of don't see that a lot. So when you do see teams kind of combining powers to beat the crap out of someone they're just tired of, it seemed great. And, you know, at the very end there, I honestly thought for a second, I'm like, okay, maybe Montez and Dawkins could do this, maybe. I don't have a lot of faith, unfortunately, for DIY.
Yeah. I mean, they just held it like a month ago or whatever. Like they were the last ones to hold it. So I don't think this is how they're winning it back, but I hear you.
Yeah. But so, you know, they were kind of, they were like the little side piece that you put in a three-way to kind of just, you know, make things crazy.
Sure.
So I mean, other than that, long-winded, I know, but I really enjoyed it. I think everything was just done really well. These guys really showed off tonight and the bloodline continues their reign. I mean, they're not going to take anything off the bloodline, at least not yet.
No, we've got a while before that happens.
We got a long while, yeah.
Maybe Royal Rumble, like maybe, you know, you have...
Yeah, and that's February, is it not?
OG bloodline costing them the tag titles at some point or whatever, like sowing seeds along that way. I would be shocked if Jey Uso doesn't lose the IC title in a similar way, like... You could do double payback on that, right? Like new bloodline cost Jey Uso his IC title, and then as payback, they cause the tag titles to get lost to somebody else. I do hope they continue to push the Street Profits. It's ridiculous how underutilized they've been. They should do some really cool stuff in Rumble and push them forward for sure. For sure. But ending on a very, very strong note, nothing to report on Rampage except Louise did tell us that Stat was interviewed backstage and she said she was the toughest and the strongest and then gets confronted by Camille and Mercedes Monet. So set me up for that, please. But some good stuff coming to both companies here and a fun PLE to look forward to. I know it's a 5-match card, but everything on there should be really fun. We'll hopefully wind up this Drew and Punk story for a little bit. Liv and Rhea will probably wrap up here. We get this fun main event. So looking forward to it tomorrow. Sean and Minerva are going to be on your main channel post show 10 minutes or so after the PLE ends. I'm assuming that'll be 10:30-ish. Alex Pulaski and I on the Fightful Select show. I'm sure we'll be keeping tabs on Collision and not watching it. You'll have Grapsity in the morning as usual, but Collision post show will not be happening. That will return next week. So a lot to look forward to on a fun wrestling weekend. Before we get out of here, Cardoza, where can the people find you?
Hey, you can find me here in North Carolina. No, just kidding. You can find me on
North Carolina.
I would yell, but it is late. I don't want the neighbors to go, what the hell is this guy doing? you can find me on Threads and IG, Alexis Cardoza. My new show, That Was Pretty Jolly, is out. You can go to thatwasprettyjolly.com and you can check it out. It's up on the it's being distributed on YouTube by Freddie Prince's company, Gaghead. The link is in thatwaspretyjolly.com, and you can always get it on any podcast platform. We've gotten some really great reviews and some really great feedback already, so I'm really excited to bring these next 12 episodes to you guys. And, you know, we're going to have some guests here and there as well, so get ready for that. Other than that, man, I'm just working on a million other shows, so it's just crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of just, you know, just doing the do. I'm glad to be here. I'm just very happy to be here every Friday.
Well, we're happy to have you here. The chat calling out that tomorrow is Graph City's 3rd-year anniversary show. Yes, it is. Ooh. They celebrate their anniversary along with the AEW anniversary. I believe they started 2 years into AEW here at Fightful. We're so lucky to have them. Phil and Reg are such fantastic personalities and voices in this space. Phil's so underrated, especially. Like, I feel like because he's normal, he doesn't get as much attention. Because he's level-headed and pretty chill, but he's just incredible. And I can't say enough about Reg. Like, I had so much fun when he was on the ROH show. He's such a fun voice to listen to in this space. So please support them. Please support that 3-year anniversary. We love having them here. Throw Will Washington some love too. He's gone on to do other things at some other place, but whatever. yes, there's
who is
3 years.
Person?
Who is that Will guy? But yeah, support them. Enjoy Bad Blood tomorrow. We will see you next week. Have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. Bye.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Shop Macy's VIP sale, going on now. Use your coupon or Macy's card and take an extra 30% off the latest fall trends from designers that rarely go on sale. And save 15% off skincare, makeup, fragrances, and more. Plus, shop fall specials for even more great deals on top brands at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.